I can't believe it's been, what, over 2 years? Yeah. Scary, isn't it? 2 years, just like that. And I got fatter. And memory is not as what it used to be. But, and it's been an interesting 2 years, actually, the last 2 years. I don't know about you, but a bit of a change gone on in it. Things ain't not the same. But you know what is the same is the Lord. And he's good. And, you know, God's doing a work in our lives. You know, I was thinking about this. I suppose when you get old, when you get in your early 70s, isn't it? You start thinking about stuff. I don't know if that's good or bad, but... I started thinking about some of the things I did. I was in the U.S. Air Force during the Vietnam War. That kind of dates me a little bit, I suppose. And, you know, the life I lived before I came to the Lord. And I remember I tried all kinds of things because there was an emptiness. And, you know, I was kind of one of the more popular people at the time, and parties and, you know, drugs and alcohol and whatever. But you know what? That stuff really leaves you empty, you know. And I remember feeling I just wanted to be something that was real. And I was looking for it out here, and but I needed it here. And it was a time which I'll probably share later this week, maybe a little bit more. But when the Lord came into my life, when I prayed to receive him, I made a decision. And then later on, I made a commitment. And I didn't know what it was. I mean, I thought, I'm a Church of England dude, you know. I mean, I was in the choir for crying out loud in England. You know, wore the little ruffle around your neck and all that stuff. So I figured, you know, and I, you know, we were told not to make a lot of noise when we went into the church, the Church of England, because, you know, you might upset God and all that. Well, you know, I found out that, so I thought I was all right, but I was so empty. And so when I prayed the sinner's prayer, something changed, and I didn't understand it. I wasn't going to a church. This is all something that God did supernaturally, which I'm forever grateful for. And a friend of mine and myself, we were stationed in Sacramento at the time, McClellan Air Force Base. We both had orders for Southeast Asia. And we went up at Folsom. We went up to a hill overlooking Folsom Prison. And Folsom Lake, I should say, as well. And we prayed this prayer. And I thought, well, you know, maybe an earthquake, maybe an angel appeared. None of that. Of course, that was kind of amazing. It didn't happen, actually, being in California. But I did feel something different, you know. And I didn't know what it was. And then after that, within that week, my orders were changed. I got sent back to England, where I came from. My father had been in the RAF, the Royal British Air Force, was killed in a plane crash when I was young. And I was right back next to the base that he was at, for crying out loud. The same area that he met my mother, of all places to be, you know. God, it's just amazing. But anyway, without going into big detail, God got a hold of my life. And I remember I went to this prayer meeting. I didn't know what a prayer meeting really was. It wasn't different to the Church of England. I knew that. But God touched me. You know, I felt myself being lifted up, and I remember I heard a voice speak to me, and which is really quite unnerving, isn't it? You know, I mean, it was real, and it said, you know, Chris, do you believe in me? And I said, yeah, you know, I believe in you. You know, I'd be a fool not to. I mean, I used to say, oh, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God, but always the words would come back, or is there? And so after I received him into my life, I knew that there was a God. Then he said, do you believe in my word? And I said, well, you know, it's got a few contradictions, I reckon. And he said, well, I'm being honest, you know. I mean, you've got to be honest, you know. And what do you do? And he says, you know, maybe those contradictions lie with you and not with me. And I thought, you know what, I just realized that some of those contradictions, I just found out that day that it was me. It was just a lack of understanding, a lack of revelation. And then he spoke to me again, and he said, Chris, will you die for me? So I said, hold on a minute here. We've gone from what? We've gone from believing in you, believing in your word, to dying for you. Well, that's a big old step, isn't it? You know? And I thought about it and I said, you know what? If you're God and if your word is truth, I'd be a fool not to. Now, I thought that dying would be like I'd probably get shot or something, you know. But the dying really had to do with life. You know, laying aside those things that we hold on to for life. You know, letting go of things that we think are real important, putting our trust in the living God. Because, you know, if he is God, and he is, then he knows everything. And he knows all about us. We don't have to try to be something we aren't. We just need to be who we are in him.
Amen.
You know, and that changes everything. So he knows all about us. He knows all about you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he wants to reveal himself to you. And he wants to help you. And he wants to make himself real to you in ways we've never experienced. And so here we are, 2 years have gone by, very 2.5 years, I think, have gone by very quickly. And time seems to be accelerating, for sure. And the world's gone blooming nuts, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's gone nuts. I mean, is that just me? Anybody else kind of think, you know? Hello, you know, down is up, up is down. Everywhere I go, you know, people are saying the same thing. Well, why is that? Well, we're going to talk about that Sunday morning, so you don't want to miss Sunday morning, okay? And we're living in very, very interesting times. So, what's going on right now? Well, there's a lot of things that are happening. And what I keep seeing is, and I'm going to preach on this probably as well the other week, you know, the 10 virgins, right? You know, there were 10 virgins, and it represents the believers. And but when the groom finally came, what happened? 10 had, 5 had oil and 5 didn't. So I don't know about you, but if there's a connection there, and you're talking about the return of Christ for his people, I want to make sure I got oil in my lamp. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Is that just me?
Yeah,
or,
right.
You know, I don't care. There's no mucking around. You know, you've got to, that's how it is. Because if it's real, and it is real, good grief. I mean, the things I used to do for sin, you know, was insane. Well, how much more should I be, you know, even crazier for the things of God? Now my family think I'm not a lot of my family think I'm nuts. They call me the crazy. What is it they call me, Christy? Oh, crazy! They've called me a crazy Jesus freak since.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. That started in 1972, I think. And they say I'm crazier than I've ever been before. Well, you know. So, you know, you can take a look in the mirror. We'll find out who's really crazy here. Anyway. But I believe God's working in our hearts and our lives. And these are strange times. And there are times of judges. There's a time of, well, I won't say tribulation, but difficulty that people are going through. Would you say that's pretty true?
Yeah.
But I just want to say this. I didn't expect to go through all the things we've been through the last 2.5 years. And I don't know what's before us, but I do know this, that God is with us.
Amen.
That's what I do know. That the God who has brought us this far is the God who will lead us on. He's the God who will turn everything to our good. No matter what we go through, if we look to him and put our trust in him, he'll help us. And you know what? If we do that, he'll put oil in the lamp. Sometimes I don't do things, you know, like I used to, because that's not what God wants. Now, you know, we've gone through a lot of changes recently, and one of those, we had a church down in Albany, and the place we were renting, they didn't want to rent to Christians anymore. Can you believe that? This is America. But when I first came back here from China, from being a missionary in China, I realized that things weren't what they should be in America in the church. So it's kind of reached, it's gone full circle. Now it's all coming out. So it was kind of a blessing because we drive 100 miles from where we live down to Albany and then back again. That's 200 miles every Sunday. And I don't know if you noticed, but it seems to me, I mean, it might just be me, but people are a little bit more nuttier on the roads now than they used to be. I mean, driving here today, holy cow. I mean, people were, you know, zooming in and out of traffic, pulling in. I thought, good night. And so it was kind of a blessing in disguise. But next Sunday, we're starting another new church. Can you believe that? I never expected to do that in my age. But you know what? I'm kind of excited. Because I want to see, if we can see one more person come to know the Lord, then it's worth it. You know, you don't mind me just sharing a little bit. You don't mind me just talking, do you? doesn't matter if he does. I'm just, you know. But you know, God is real. God loves us. God has a plan for us. And He's going to accomplish His purposes in our lives. And sometimes what a lot of people do, they think, oh, you know, you look at yourself, you can become very judgmental of yourself. You can become very, what's the word I'm looking for? Self-condemning. Very good, Mama. Yeah, very self-condemning. You know what I'm saying? We can be really hard on ourselves. And I remember a while back the Lord saying to me, He says, Chris, why are you so blooming hard on yourself? That's not me, you know. And I said, what? He said, do you have a heart for me? And I said, yeah. Do you want to live for me? I said, yeah. And like I said, there's sometimes things we have to do and we need to do them. And so the Lord opened up a building for us to use on Sunday afternoon, which is kind of just out of nowhere. And it's about a mile and a half. Excuse me. About a mile and a half from our house. Amen. Yeah, 1.5 miles. It's a Grange, which is kind of different, but it don't matter. But if we get one person saved, then that's going to be worth it. And I told the Lord, I went to heaven once, and He told me I could stay there if I wanted to, and I realized that was reality. And I said, man, I'd love to, but if you can use me to get one more person into your kingdom, then send me back. And I just remember looked at the Lord, and He smiled, and I was back where I was. So, anyhow, what's all that got to do with my sermon? Nothing. Hopefully somewhere along the line it'll fit in, but you know, we all live in hope, so keep praying, keep believing. I was a while back, I was thinking too, looking back on time, that much of my life has had a connection with high places. And it's kind of strange, really, but as a young boy, I grew up on an island in England at the mouth of the Thames River. And it was called the Isle of Sheppey. Called the Isle of Sheppey, of course, because they had sheep there, you know. The Isle of Sheppey. And the place my uncle lived in, because it was after my dad died, so I grew up with him, was on this hill overlooking some of the North Sea and where the Thames River begins. And, beautiful view, nice place, but it was a high place. During the Jesus movement, of course, while in the U.S. Air Force, I went up to Folsom. My friend and I went up, climbed this hill up overlooking Folsom Lake and prayed the sinner's prayer. Those are kind of both two momentous things as far as I'm concerned. That was the other thing. Margaret Thatcher. Does anybody remember Margaret Thatcher? God bless her, you know. She's a good old girl, you know. I was a missionary. I'd got out of the Air Force now. I'd gone to England. and you know, we're living by faith, you know. And I worked on the base, and but we pioneered this work, and in a place no one wanted to go to. They called it one of the deadest parts of England. It was in Norfolk, and but you know, people started getting saved, you know, and I thought, Lord, you know, all my friends are buying houses, you know, what about me, you know. Anyway, Maggie got put into power. The government had built this housing area, a beautiful housing area. I don't know how many houses they were. A lot of them were joined together. But they built this one place. It got an award as one of the nicest estates, you know, housing estates in England. And it was to use for government, for people, low-income people, right? Well, when she got in power, she says, no, we need to help people get going and have their own place. Can you believe this? You know, when we give to God, when we let go of the things, you know, I could have, there's all kinds of things I could have done rather than be a missionary, but I said, Lord, I want to follow you. And so all my friends are doing really well. I used to hang around with them, getting their own houses and, you know, all the other stuff. But Maggie Thatcher says, all right, we're going to give these houses, we're going to sell them to people with low income. Well, I was a missionary, you know, so I was a low income guy. So I went to the housing estate and I said, listen, I reckon Maggie's selling them up there as well, is she? And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, I want one. He said, well, all right, so I'll let you know. Well, of course, he didn't let me know. And that first section, they sold off. So I went back and I said, that's it, mate. I read the Bible that says you need to be persistent. You know, the widow kept banging on the door. Well, I ain't no widow, but I tell you what, I'm a perseverer. So I went back to the estate agent and I went to see him and every week for about several months, 3 months. He said, come. He said, you again? I said, well, yeah. You know, I've come for my house. I said, you didn't do it last time. So I said, this time you need to, you know, get it done. He said, all right, Chris, all right. He said, look, how much can you put down? I said, and in American money, I said, $50. Well, yeah. I mean, who's ever bought a house for down payment for $50? That's a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he said, well, where do you want to be? Well, there was a road called Mother Julian Close, which is it's a bit religious sounding. And I said, look, there's a row of houses there. They're on a hill. On a hill, the top of a hill overlooking the whole town. And I said, man, I can go up there and I can pray over this place and I can believe God. I said, look, I want a house on Mother Julian Close. I want an end house because there was about 8 of them joined together. He says, all right, give me your $50. So I gave him $50 and I got a house. Can you believe that? It was £16,251 or about $35,000 at that time. I had that for about, oh, I think 5 years. And when I sold it, I think I sold it for £40,000 or $75,000, something like that. So good old Maggie, you know, I caught up with all my friends and overtook them. Why? Because when you put your faith and trust in God, things don't work out the way you think they are. Or you think it will, but they will work out. And so I was thinking about all these high places. And today, when we moved back to America, the Lord told us it was time for us to come back. We were looking for a house. And we're looking at different places. And my mother had a double brain aneurysm. And so we were going to have her live with us. And we were just praying, and a lady rang us from Taiwan, who was a good friend of ours, a prayer warrior, prayer intercessor. She says, for the last 30 days we've been praying and interceding, she said, you know, and you guys kept coming to our mind. She said, you know, what's going on with you? She said, all I know is God kept saying he's going to give you a miracle house. Is that right, Mama? Have I got it right? Yeah, God said he was going to give you some rest, because we were really very busy then. And he said, we're going to give you a miracle house. And we were going around looking for houses, and we only had a 10 days, Christy, or less? 10 days to find one. And I looked at my wife, we'd see for places, and she's, you know, you look at women, you can tell if it's not the one. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fine. Well, whatever you want. Right. One thing I've learned over the years, you know, just smile and move on. And so we walked into this one house, and her, good night, I looked at her. Her face lit up like a candle. Lampstand. Floodlight. And I said, man, we'll see if we can get this. And God did a miracle. I'm telling you, well, the things that happened for us to get the house was a miracle. I mean, this was back in 2002. And one of the things that they did was the people who were selling it had gone through some stuff. They'd bought a new house and plus a place at the beach. And so the lady got laid off work. She was a director at Fred Meyer's. Fred Meyer's was bought out by his other company. And, you know, she said, we'll drop it $30,000. So they dropped the price. And another guy rang me, one of our guys in our church who was a owner of a factory. He said, Chris, God's been speaking to me. I said, yeah. He says, I want to give you I'm wiring you $30,000 towards getting a house. Well, do you know that was exactly what we needed? Exactly what we needed to get the house we liked. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, isn't that lovely? When you put God first, you trust Him, He always works everything out. I was following the news, which I don't follow the news much anymore because I get ticked off. Does anybody else feel that? I start shouting. I even cussed a couple of times. And I thought, I gotta make some changes, you know. And what the heck is wrong with you? You can't you can't drill for oil because but we're gonna give the oil reserves to China and Russia. Are you out of your mind? Okay. Anyway, but I was also interested about Ukraine. And I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know that Ukraine has the fifth largest Jewish population in the world? America, then Israel. But anyway, she's number five. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Israel has been flying in a lot of medical supplies, a lot of things to help the Ukrainian people. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Unlike Russia right now, who's burning all their wheat fields. Can you believe that? They're burning and blowing up their houses with them in it, and schools and hospitals. It's the world, it's evil, isn't it? It really is. But so they would fly into Ukraine and drop off all the supplies. And you know what Israel did after that? They filled them with the Jewish immigrants, Ukrainian Jews, and flew them back to Israel. And right now, there are so many Jewish people leaving Ukraine. Now, a lot of them fled of themselves, but they've made their way to Israel. And a lot of Russian Jews are now going back to Israel. Now, we don't hear a lot about this, but it is quite amazing. It really is quite amazing, to be honest with you. And so I was, you know, I picked that up on the news. I think you guys would listen to perhaps, but this came from people in anyway. So when I heard about all this, they said, "Oh, these people these Jewish people are doing Aliyah, Aliyah, whatever." Okay. Hope, you know, I'm probably wrong. If you're Jewish in here, you're probably going to start throwing stuff at me, but, you know, gives you a chance to forgive. All right, so, to learn to forgive. Aliyah. So I thought, and all of a sudden I kept hearing Aliyah, I'm making Aliyah, you know. And I thought, what is all this then? You know, it just hit me. Have you ever had a word that's spoken, it just hits you and it's in your mind, stuck there. So I decided to do some research on the word aliyah, and I was surprised at its meaning and what it means to each true born again believer. And I was surprised that the connection aliyah had to do with my own life. There's a connection, and probably with yours as well. In Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. Man, you're good. It says, who's good at reading stuff? Is this okay if I do this? Can somebody read this?
Yeah.
When I do it at our church, when we have, I have all the kids. I didn't want to have Sunday school. We had the kids, and we have them read the scripture. I'll tell you, all of their reading skills increased dramatically. Anyway. All right, mate, go on.
But the time is coming, says the Lord, when people who are taking on an oath will no longer say, as surely the Lord lives, who rescued the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. Instead, they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel back to their own land from the land of the north and from all the countries to which he had exiled them? For I will bring them back to this land that I gave their ancestors.
Now, isn't that amazing? When you read scripture, and it really is amazing, you know, God said the Jews were scattered throughout the world. He said, now I'm going to bring them back. And that's what's been happening. My goodness gracious, and it's really happening in a big way right now. What do you reckon? Can we show that video? No, take all your time. It doesn't matter. I need a rate. Okay, so I came across this video when I'm doing all this, and I thought, well, maybe you guys might want to have a bit of a look at it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So, and there is a connection. Hopefully, you'll see all this at the end here. All right, then, off you go. Oops.
Welcome to today's virtual tour. Thousands of years ago, Hebrew prophets foretold that one day the Jewish people would return from all over the world. It's happening right now. But what happens when these immigrants return, and how do they assimilate into Israeli society? CBN's Scott Ross took a look, and here's what he found out.
They come from all over the world to a place many have never been. Yet the Jewish people have longed to return to this land for thousands of years.
I'm Sarah from France.
Hi, I'm Dylan from Uruguay. I did Aliyah in December. I'm here because I love Israel.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm from Cordoba, Argentina.
I'm Nikita from Russia. I study nuclear physics.
Hi, my name is Gadi. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I made Aliyah in December. I'm a lawyer in New York, and I'm here because it's the only Jewish state there is.
It's called Aliyah, literally going up. Taken from biblical times, the term describes when people went up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Now it means immigrating or returning to Israel. You're an American.
Yep.
Then why did you come?
It's a beautiful country. I love it here.
Yeah, Arizona's beautiful.
Arizona is beautiful, but it's not Israel.
Why did you come?
It's hard to live like Jewish, religion Jewish in Ukraine.
Right.
So I think it's my country, my home.
Why did you come?
Rio de Janeiro is a dangerous city.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. And the economy there is not so good, so...
You said it's a dangerous city there, but Israel is surrounded by people who would like to destroy this land. You don't feel any fear here, anxiety about being here?
No, not like in Brazil.
Last year, 27,000 new immigrants arrived in Israel, including 3,600 from the United States.
For almost 3,000 years, we were disconnected, but we were praying for Jerusalem. So it's really a gathering of exiles, and it continues every day.
I spoke with Natan Sharansky, leader of the Jewish Agency, which oversees bringing the Jewish people home.
I am very proud to be the head organization now, which brought 3.5 million Jews from the creation of the state of Israel.
What is it that inspires people to do this? Uprooted from their culture, their country, everything they know, to come to an unknown land.
I live the life of absolute assimilated person, without roots. Mm-hmm. And I know how shallow, how decadent is life without identity. Mm-hmm. When you can't really connect yourself to anything, when you don't have any heritage to give to your children. And then I also discovered a different life, life with identity, life inside history.
Sharansky made headlines in the 80s as a political prisoner in the former Soviet Union. International pressure led to his release, and he immigrated to Israel in 1986.
I meet with a lot of new immigrants, and I love to be in the airport and to see this moment of them going down from the airplane, because we think that after each of these people, there are at least 50 generations of Jews who are praying and dreaming about coming to Jerusalem. And each of them is closing a huge circle of 1,000 years of exile.
Biblical prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all spoke of a time when God would bring the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. The prophet Amos says they'll never be dispersed again. Although they're part of a prophetic and exciting journey, immigrants face a whole new world when they arrive.
Some of the people left everything. Left the friends, left families, left the smell, the food, the jobs, all the things that they knew, they're coming here to start a new life.
That's why the state works to create a smooth transition. Ziva Avrahami leads Beit Canada, Opan Etzion, an absorption center in Jerusalem. New immigrants live here free for 5 months so they can focus on learning Hebrew and living in Israel.
We call them the first home in the homeland. They're coming here and they have like a soft landing. They don't need to be afraid from things. We help them to be part of Israel, but step by step.
Why did you do this? Why did you decide to do this?
I'm here because I think they will lead this country. There's lawyers, the people that did some beautiful things all over. There are doctors, dentists, psychologists. You can see here from more than 45 countries.
How important is it that they learn Hebrew?
The main reason that the people are here in this absorption center is to get to know the language. The Hebrew is the key to the Israeli society. If you want to be part of Israel, if you want to be the leader of this beautiful country, you need to know the language.
Opan Etzion is mainly for millennials who have a university degree. You could say it's like a prophetic melting pot. Are there conflicts between them culturally, socially, adapting, adjusting to one another?
Yes. There are different people for different places. Right. The culture is different. The language is different. So to put together 250 young adults in one place, you can imagine what's going here in the evenings. A lot of people are becoming friends for life.
Do the majority of them then stay in it?
It might be interesting to watch the whole thing, but it's a bit long. But you get the idea. These people are coming back. They're excited to come back. God's bringing them back. God's in what they're doing. And there's a great excitement in it. So anyway, I want to speak tonight on the revelation of Alleluia. And so my text is Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. Now, I'm reading out the Jewish Bible, the complete Jewish Bible. And this is Messianic Jews who wrote this. It says, a song of ascents, which means Alleluia. A song of Alleluia. If I raise my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? My help comes from Adonai. My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Your guardian is not asleep. No, the guardian of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Adonai is your guardian. At your right hand, Adonai provides you with shade. The sun can't strike you during the day or even the moon at night. Adonai will guard you against all harm. He will guard your life. Adonai will guard your coming and your going from now on and forever. That's written for the Jewish people, but it's written for us as well. Because we're involved with Alleluia also. So what is the meaning of Aliyah? Well, it means to ascend. It means to be exalted. It means to rise. It means to go upwards towards God, or the upward journey. The journey of the Jewish people to the promised land and the journey to every born again believer. So God has called us into His presence. He's called us to leave the things of this world. He's called us to live, to leave this carnal, worldly based place and to follow Him. And the Bible says that did you know what the word straight means in Hebrew? I can't remember myself. Let me ask you this. What's the closest point between two dots?
Straight line.
How'd you know that?
Went to school.
Yeah. The closest position to two points is a straight line. And there's a word, it's called yashar in Hebrew, and it means a straight line. But it also means blessed. And so when we live for God, he teaches us to walk a straight line. So we begin to walk in His blessing. And to do that, it requires sometimes leaving the past behind and looking to God and doing what's right. Leaving these things because they're not of God. And obeying His word and putting our faith, putting our trust in Him. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever have a problem like this, but sometimes you need to forgive somebody. But, you know, it'd be easier to give them a knock around the ear, than forgive them. But God says, just let it go. Just forgive. Just let it go. Forgive them. Somebody steals from you sometimes. Well, how do you handle that? Well, they're dishonest. How do you handle it? Well, we need to hear from God and ask the Lord what He wants us to do. And also, He wants us to be a blessing to others. So here we are. We're living in this time. And we talked about the 10 virgins. We're living in that period of time where God is getting His bride ready. We're going through difficulty. We're going through times of testing, tribulation, whatever you want to call it. But we're going through these things. But God is using those things to straighten us out. He's calling us up to a better place. He's calling us up into a place of peace and of joy. And so no matter what the world faces or what we go through in this world until He returns, God's going to work everything out to our good. Does that make sense? God's working. And so as we obey Him and walk that straight line, we literally begin to walk in the blessing of God. It sounds so easy, doesn't it? But the working out sometimes is a lot different. Sometimes God wants us to do things that we don't want to do. But we need to submit to His will and do what's right. Because He's calling us up. What's going on is we're making this Aliyah ourselves right now. Isn't that interesting? So, the physical Aliyah, let's take a look at that. Whenever Jesus went to Jerusalem, it will always say that He went up to Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is on a mountain or a hill. And Jerusalem is located on a hill or a mountain known as Mount Zion with an elevation of 2,575 feet. So to get there always requires a person to go up. This was known in Bible times as the ascent, the upward journey, or the Aliyah. Aliyah, yeah. This wasn't just known as a physical going up to Jerusalem, but it was also known as a spiritual going up to Jerusalem. In many cases, the physical parallels the spiritual. In the 20th century, when the Jewish people began to return to Israel, fulfilling Bible prophecy, the whole coming back was referred to, of course, as Aliyah. But not only do we have a physical ascent, but we also have a spiritual one. So this is what I want you to understand tonight. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, how many people here have received the Lord into your life? Amen. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. I really would. It'll change everything. But when a person receives Christ as their personal Savior, they become, in a sense, a spiritual Jew. I mean, you know, we're not calling ourselves spiritual Jews, but you get the idea. We become one of God's spiritually, the same kind of a thing there. Therefore, every true believer in the Messiah must make a spiritual aliyah to Jerusalem. Now, these people are flying back to Israel, and at the same time, we're making a trip as well to Israel. They're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go to Jerusalem also. This wasn't just known as a physical going up to Jerusalem, but it was also known So every day you have a choice to take a step to go higher, a step to go lower, or to just stay where you are. Whenever you say no to sin or no to any form of disobedience written in the Word of God, then you're taking a step up. But when you are being selfish, God forbid, self-centered, dishonest, carnal, then you're taking a step lower. Every day you have a choice to go higher, to go lower, or to stay in the same place. You know, and it'd be nice to say, oh yeah, you know, I'm just like Pastor Keith, you know, I just always going up. No. There's every one of us go through battles. Every one of us go through battles. And it's a journey. And God knows we're not perfect. He knows that. But in Christ, He makes us, He's making us perfect. And so, you know, sometimes you just have to stop. Driving here today, man, we went to this one place, the sky was, well, we haven't seen much blue sky where I live for the last 6 months, but the sky was beautiful, the little clouds, it was like a painting, weren't it, Christine? Like a painting. And I thought, man, this is so nice. And so, you know, God, every now and then we go through all these things, we go through, all of a sudden the clouds clear, and the peace of God and the goodness of God begin to fill you. It's a wonderful thing. So the entire life of every believer is an upward journey. An ever higher ascending journey. Or an aliyah. Say that with me. Aliyah. Am I saying it right? Just say it with me. Aliyah. One more time.
Aliyah.
One more time.
Aliyah.
One more time. Aliyah. Man, you guys are really good. I couldn't hear. So every day, each day can feel harder than the day before. But the view always gets better with every step upward that will cause us to break through into new realms and into new heights that God has laid out before us. God has laid these things for us. What a blessing. Even the good, the bad, and the ugly, all those things work to our good. Every day you have a choice. Every single day. And in the end, you will be glad you said yes to God and did the right thing, because every time you take that upward step, you will find yourself what? In the center of God's perfect will and destiny for your life. Who wants to be in the center of God's will? I do. I really, really do. Walking on the heights of the mountain, thus making your whole life aliyah. So aliyah for the Jewish people begins when they leave their homes, get on a plane or some other means of travel and make their way to Israel. It ends when they arrive in Israel and they depart their plane or mode of transport with great joy and with great celebration. And I've watched a number of these videos, and I won't be showing any more. But you see them when they leave a lot of times, they're saying goodbye to friends and family. They're leaving their old way of life behind. And they get on the plane. And, you know, then they start encouraging each other. But when they land, man, they're kissing the ground. They're dancing. They're rejoicing. What a great thing. You know, during the course of the last couple of years, we had two people in our congregation die from this thing, you know. And it was quite amazing, but one of the guys who was an elder in our church, he's a great guy. But the Lord gave me this aliyah, and I thought, what's all this about? And the Lord said to me, Chris, this is for this guy and his family. You need to share it with them. And after I had this, he died. And you know, that's hard on people. It's hard on his wife, it's hard on everyone else, hard on their kids and grandkids and whatever. But you know what I said? You know, it's hard on us because, in a sense, we're still here. But for him, he's in a place of rejoicing. You know, there's a time of rejoicing right now. And it's not that long before we'll all be together. You know, the Lord's coming back soon. I'm telling you, he's coming back soon. I'm going to probably share this again, but I'm going to throw this in now. I was thinking about the time we're living in and all the nutty things that are going on. And I don't think that's just me. I think we all agree with that. It's a time, well, everything's turned around. It certainly is a time of apostasy. But God has a plan. And he knows what he's doing. And I forgot what I was going to say. It was really good. Maybe it'll come back. And so, sorry, it's gone. It'll come back later on, hopefully. Our aliyah begins when we get saved. Can you say amen? It ends when we die. When that happens, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. This is what it's going to say. I was thinking about the rapture. And I was thinking about the Lord's return. And I was thinking about the fact that we're in a time right now called the, what's that? This every 7 years, the Shemitah. Are you Jewish? No, you could pass as a Jewish person. Got this. You know, this is a Shemitah year. And every 7 years, the Shemitah lasts 7 years, and the seventh year is the last. And at the end of it, give or take 6 months, there's always a drop in the economy. There's always an increase in inflation. House prices go down. And you can go back. 2001, it was the Shemitah year. The economy went down, inflation went up, house prices fell. 7 years later was 2008. Same thing happened. 7 years after that was 2015. Same thing happened. And this September is the end of the Shemitah and the beginning of another group of Shemitahs, another Shemitah seven-year cycle beginning. And I thought, well, which explains what's going on now. And you can see it happening maybe in a bigger way coming up, the way things are going. But I made a little discovery. Israel became a nation in 1948. There has been, when this Shemitah ends, there have been 10 Shemitahs. So in September, there will be a new Shemitah seven-year cycle beginning. Are you with me? That will be the 11th. So I thought, I wonder. So I got out my phone. Google, went to Google, you can do this yourself, and I said, what is the Jewish meaning of the number 11? You know what it said? It says demonic rule. It means to rule and with chaos, anarchy. It was all of those types of things, unrighteousness, really demonic kind of rule. I thought, wow, so the next 7 years represents a demonic rule? And a time of apostasy, a time of chaos? But get a load of this. After that 7 years is done, the next 7 years, you know what it represents? 12. The number 12 represents God's judgment, God's rule, God's government. Is that you? You've seen this before? Isn't that amazing? Did anybody know this before? No. I think you'll find it. And I'm saying all these things because I want to encourage you. No matter what we go through, no matter what's happening, all this other nonsense, keep your eyes on Jesus. Let him do the work in your heart and life that he wants to do. We're on our way home right now. Yeah. Encourage one another. And I tell you, when we get back, there's going to be a time of great rejoicing. Now, what does that say? Well, the Lord's return may be sooner than we think. Now, am I saying, oh yeah, September, beginning of a new Shemitah, the rapture's going to happen? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the likelihood of that coming is increasing. So be encouraged as the insanity in the world increases. Be encouraged because the Lord, all the signs are here. So, you know, just encourage one another and we'll make it together. And where are we here? The Christian Alleluia begins when they get saved, it ends when they die, and their spirit goes to be with the Lord, or when their rapture happens, and they are caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and it too will be a time of great joy. How many people know that's going to be a time of great joy and celebration? Yeah. Amen. Would you like to read that scripture for us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4?
Now, brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. Otherwise, you might become sad the way other people do, who have nothing to hope for. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, we also believe that in the same way God, through Yeshua, will take him with those who have died. When we say this, we base it on the Lord's own words. We who remain alive when the Lord comes will certainly not take precedence over those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from the one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. Those who died united with the Messiah will be the first to rise. Then we who are left still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. So encourage each other with these words.
Amen. Thank you. Encourage one another with these words. Yeah, craziness. But the Lord's working in our lives. He's putting oil in our lamps. He's getting us ready. And not only is he getting us ready, sometimes we're hard on ourselves. But God says, just receive my love. Just receive my encouragement. And now you encourage others. Be an encouragement to other people. You know, speak good things to them. I we shop at Costco, and that's about the only place my wife and I have been the last 2 years is Costco. Anyway, I go there, she's shopping, and all I do basically is the Lord speak to me. I'm praying with people and sharing with people. God will speak to me about somebody, and I go up to them and just start talking. Is that right, Mama? Yeah, that's poor girl. Anyway, gives her time to shop and without me bugging her. And but the Lord says you just need to be an encouragement to others. You know, I'll help you be an encouragement to others. I want my blessing to flow through you. He wants his blessing to flow through you to those around about you. Look, I know this is a bit different maybe tonight, but you know, we need to have different. We need different every now and then. You know, God's healing us on the inside. He's healing us, but he's healing us as people so we can be a better people. Now, I believe when I preach, when I speak at different places, people get healed. Sometimes I pray for them, sometimes I don't. And maybe you need some kind of healing in your body. Well, I want to tell you, you may just be receiving it the next few minutes. You just receive it, whatever you need. You know, we rebuke sickness, we rebuke pain. It can't stay in the mighty name of Jesus. God's a good God. He can do anything. I'm going to close here. It says, Adonai in our text will guard you against all harm. He will guard your life. Adonai will guard your coming and your going from now on and forever. That's God's promise to you and me. And you know what? We need to know that today. There's a lot of nutters. You know, we were driving home. My son took my wife and I. There's a switch in it. He took us to the beach. He took us. He took us out to eat. I thought, what happened? I'm sleeping. He said, hey, young dad, you're sorry. We're driving home, and there's a car comes up next to us, and it's a beat-up looking thing. And it has what were those things that people used to have on their hair, the punk rockers? Kind of a hair sticking, whatever it is, yeah. And I thought, oh, this guy's a nutter for sure, you know. And so my son was, he's a good driver, and the two lanes merged. And this guy shut him down and almost run us off the road. And so, I thought, this is insane. What's all this? What is going on with people? And then I said, Matthew, just leave the guy, because my son beat the horn at him. But then the guy took out looked like a metal rod, wasn't it, Christy? And started waving it around. I thought, oh, gosh, you've got to be careful today, don't you?
Yeah.
And so my wife and I will always pray for God to protect us, to watch over us, to watch over our son. And you need to pray that as well, like never before. We need God's protection. Your pastor needs God. You have a great service, And I want to say this, and I've probably gone way over my time.
About 20 minutes is all.
I still got 20 minutes?
You like it listening
to you. Not really. But there's one thing I really like about coming here. Number one is when we walk in the door, all you guys are so nice. Hi, Pastor Chris, good to see you. I hug you. I thought, isn't this, we needed that. We need that every now and then. And people to love you and just to encourage you. And I think we all need that. And you have a really good church. I wanted to say that. Here you are in Shelton. Where the heck is Shelton? But listen, you guys have something here. It's like an oasis. And the music, holy cow. I find it most enjoyable. Bruce singing. Beards. I thought I was back in the 60s there for a little while. Okay, let me close and finish up here. I'm going to share one thing with you and then a scripture. Okay, if God's called us, then He's made a way for us to succeed and to overcome.
Yes.
He's made a way for us to make that upward ascent to the place He wants us to be. He's promised to teach us in the way we are to go and help us along the way. And the good news is that we're never alone in this journey. It feels that way sometimes, but feelings can be deceptive. The Lord is always with us, every step of the way, helping us, watching over us, guarding us, protecting us, teaching us, strengthening us, and encouraging us. Our destination is more than worth all the sacrifices we must make. Our destination is worth more than all the sacrifices we must make. All the difficulties we must face. All the battles that you and I must fight. And if God is for us, then we understand who can be against us. Is God for us?
Yes.
Oh, He's for righteousness. Therefore, don't stop believing. Don't stop encouraging others. And don't stop contending for the faith. For with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And I want to close with this here scripture, Matthew 11:28. through verse 30. You want to do it, man?
Sure.
Okay.
Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary." And in parentheses it says, "All of you who are struggling."
Anybody struggling? Been struggling? Anybody been feeling a little weary? Mm-hmm. He says, "Come to me." Here we go.
"And carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light."
And the burden I give you is light. Isn't that good?
Hallelujah.
You know, I look back at the people I know who live in sin. You know, they're living for themselves, and it's always so complex, so much heartache. You know, their lives are a mess. But I look at people who are righteous. There's a smile on their face. They've been through stuff, but think it's working to their good. Things are working to your good.
Amen.
You can trust the Lord that He will not only protect you, but He'll make provision for you. And when there's no way, He'll make a way. He has a plan already. You just need to believe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, let's have every head bowed just for a few moments and every eye close. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that you love us. You care for us, each and every person here. Lord, I plead your blood over every person here. I break the bonds of iniquity and wickedness. I come against those things that would harass people. I come against assaults in people's minds. I come against thoughts where the enemy tries to put things into lives, to bring them down and to hinder them and to hurt them. Lord, we break the power of darkness. We break the power of every evil thought. And we release your love, your rest, your salvation in Jesus' name.